Good morning, everybody. So if you guys were here last week, then you'll know this card. You're supposed to write down five people that you are believing to get saved. So if you have that, you can go ahead and put that on the altar when you come up for praise and worship. And we're going to be actually praying over those. So everybody can stand up now. How's everybody doing today? Good. Dear Jesus, we just thank you for this day. We thank you that this is the day that you have made, Lord God. And we love you and we're excited to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Alive. The empty cross and the empty grave.
how powerful your name is, that by the name of Jesus, we have all authority, that by the name of Jesus, we are healed, that by the name of Jesus, we are set free, and by no other name can these things be done than by your name. Everybody lift out a shout for the name of Jesus.
I just want you to talk to Jesus for a sec. I just want you to say the name that God has proven himself to you. If he's proven himself as a provider, just say, Jesus, you're my provider. If he's proven himself as your healer, say, Jesus, you're my healer. If he's proven himself as your victory and your confidence, say, Jesus, you are my confidence. Go ahead, talk to him. Talk to him this morning. Jesus, you're my reason for life, God. Jesus, you are my purpose. Jesus, your presence keeps me whole. Thank you, Jesus.
Wonderful, my healer.
Jesus. God, that literally we can stand in your presence and worship your name. Whether there was music playing, songs being sung, thank you for the blood of Jesus. And God, we're not going to let a moment go by where we don't let you know how much we love you and adore you. Thank you for all you've done in our lives. Thank you, Father, for our families in Jesus' name. God, thank you that even the children that aren't serving the Lord will be serving the Lord. God, we thank you, Jesus, that you care about our families. Someone dealing with a left ankle, both sides of your ankle. I don't know if it was an accident from prior, but God's going to heal your ankle. Actually, give you, restore completely. There'll be no more pain. There's an individual on your left shoulder, but it's not at your shoulder. It's down past your shoulder muscle, starting to go into the bicep. I believe that's been torn. God is restoring that in Jesus' name. Somebody online right now, you're having problems with... Somebody online right now, you're having problems with a headache that starts in your left temple and goes just to your right eye. There you go. You guys can fix that. Your right eye, so it goes from your left temple down to your left eye. And God's healing you right now where you're at, in Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you that you care all about everything to do with us. There's someone in this building right now in your right hip. The pain starts at the top of the hip. It seems to go around on the front side of the hip. And God's healing that right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that you, Lord, don't reveal if you're not going to heal. We thank you, God, that, Lord, you reveal things because you love us and you care about our situation. Lord, I thank you that even today you're confirming to these individuals that you know even things that they just sit back and wonder if you're there. And Lord, you confirm that you not only know they're there, but you're healing them as their Savior. And Father, we thank you for Jesus this morning. Lord, bless this service. We thank you for all the names that are across the front of this altar. And God, the miracles you're going to do in the next few weeks in the name of Jesus. And God, we give you honor and glory. And everybody said, if you don't have your family's names up here, those five names you're believing God for, while the announcements are going on and while you're going back to your chair and welcoming folks that you don't know and greeting somebody, being kind and nice. Remember, if you want to have friends, you got to be friendly. Get out of your chair. Go shake someone's hand. Don't go just sit down, please. Go meet somebody you don't know. Shake their hand and say, well, good morning. You look just marvelous today. If you don't have your family's names, the names up at the altar, bring them to the altar right now. We're going to be praying for them in just a little bit. Thank you.
How many times can one heart break? It was never supposed to be this way. Look in the mirror, but you find someone you never thought you'd be.
Join us for Easter weekend, April 15th and 16th. Don't miss out on our helicopter Easter egg drop, Sunday services, bounce houses, and fun for the whole family. Don't miss Easter weekend with His Tabernacle Family Church.
Praise the Lord. I'm looking for my wife. Has anybody seen her lately? There she is. We want to remind everybody about the names that you're to be praying for. I'm not sure if we have any more cards. If the ushers do, if you can make them available. We are asking everyone to pray. If you weren't here last Sunday, then you need to watch last Sunday's message. It's on live stream, and you can watch it for free. Well, it's good to have you, honey. Thanks for visiting. So we want to make sure that you're part of where we're going, and where we're going is to seek and to save them which are lost. It's going to be just a phenomenal Easter season. Amen? So we want to pray over all of these names. Look at all of these names. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of names of people that you're believing God for. You know, many of us just believe that somebody, it's impossible for them to be saved, that you can never imagine them to be born again. This morning already, four people have given their hearts to Jesus Christ. My goodness, you're quieter than the angels. I said four people gave their hearts to Jesus. That's better. Amen. We can never stop being excited about Jesus changing a life. Amen. And you know, there are people that you would never have thought. First service, we were pointing people out that no one would ever have thought to have been saved. But you know, it is awesome how God can take somebody that no one ever thought and God can change their life. Amen. How many of you know somebody that God changed their life and they were like, no stinking way would they ever get saved? How many of that was you? Amen. No one ever imagined, but you're here today. I was sharing this morning about Chris. Chris was running the camera this morning. And Chris, who's now the chaplain for His Line Crosses, the motorcycle ministry, he used to be a high priest Wiccan, where he would do the weddings for the Wiccan group. And he got delivered, born again, loves Jesus, and now he's working as a chaplain within the motorcycle ministry. No one would ever thought, amen, God can change a life. Turn to someone and say, God can change a life.
God can change a life.
That's right. And that's the exciting part. And that's what we're believing for right here. So let's all reach our hands out. Let's believe God together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare the devils cannot have our family. Lord, hell cannot have our family in Jesus' name. But Lord, we stand against it by the power of prayer. We declare that the devil's got to loose the blinded minds that they have, that come off them in Jesus' name, and that the angels of God will go and minister. That, Father, you'll send people to them to share the gospel, plant the seeds, that there'll be a harvest in their life. God, we declare in Jesus' name that, Lord, even those that would be seeming to be impossible to be saved will walk down these aisles, confess you as Lord, and serve you the rest of their life for the glory of God. So we stand here as a church, God, as one shall put 1,000 to flight, but two shall put 10,000. God, where we two touch one thing, and the will of God shall be accomplished, that it's God's will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So we stand here in prayer and with thanksgiving. So we thank you, God, for moving right now on all those names that are on these papers for the glory of God. And everybody in agreement said, I said, everybody in agreement said, amen.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How y'all doing? That was whack. I need y'all to hop on your feet and give God a shout of praise and wake up. Yeah. Awesome, awesome. Y'all can sit back down. It's okay. Welcome to our 11 a.m. service. If this is your first time in our building to worship with us, can we just see your hands? Is this your first time? Awesome. Get off our first time guest. Please keep your hands up. We have a gift for you. If you just keep your hands up, we have a gift for you. Come on, keep clapping. Keep clapping so it's not awkward. We have one up here. We have one here. Two back there. That is so awesome. We hope you guys enjoyed the gift from us. Inside that bag, you will see a ticket to our guest reception. That'll be on that side of the building after our service. You can meet us over there with some of the pastoral staff. We want to just meet you, just get to know you guys a little bit. Is that okay with you guys? Awesome. There's still one more up front. Awesome. Live stream, want to welcome you guys. Give it up for live stream. Thank you so much for joining in with us online. If you could just type in the chat section where you're from, how many people are going to be watching with you, so we can celebrate with you guys. Amen. Who is ready for Easter weekend? Yeah. In 2 weeks. Oh, my goodness. 2 weeks. We have a phenomenal weekend that's packed out. It's going to start off with Good Friday service, Saturday, April 14th. No, Friday, April 14th at 7 p.m. here. And then the following day, Saturday, April 15th, we're having a helicopter egg drop. That's going to be awesome. You want to be here, do not miss out on that. And then Sunday morning, you have the choice between 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. service for our Easter production. And that'll be Sunday, April 16th. It's going to be an entire weekend. Block out that weekend. We want you here so we can fellowship and celebrate the resurrection of our Jesus. Amen. Who loves the youth of this region? Amen, amen. You have an opportunity to partner with Uproar Youth Conference. It's going to be off the chain this year. You guys do not want to miss out. So please meet the team out in the foyer. You can partner with them for $20 or more a month. You'll be touching and saving the lives of young people across the entire nation. Amen? Amen. So who loves Pastor Rhonda's new book, No More Hurt? Who loves that book? Well, if you are not in her class, you need to be in her class Tuesdays. It's No More Hurt from 7 to 8 p.m. We also have other next steps, things that are going on. Go out to the hub and get all that information. But do not miss out on her class. Started last week, but you can still join, okay? Tuesdays, 7 to 8 p.m., No More Hurt. Love you guys. Pastor Rhonda.
Yes, we need to make sure. Also invite for Pastor Spencer, because I feel bad that we're beating him so badly. We're beating him so badly in our attendance. So make sure you invite anybody that's new to come out to Rock Solid Faith. Now, there's three Rock Solid Faith times. We have Pastor Spencer on Tuesday night. We have Pastor Dan on Wednesdays at 9, and Pastor Palco on Thursdays from 6 to 7. So catch any one of those. Invite anybody that's new and hasn't been a part of Rock Solid Faith to come out.
You know what we're thinking about for next year Easter is maybe renting the arena.
Why not? Amen. As we enter into this time of tithes and offerings, it is such a privilege to be a son and daughter of God. We actually, when we enter into this time of obedience, we enter into God's covenant with us, which is supernatural. Our money goes from just being natural to supernatural. And I love being a part of supernatural finances in the kingdom of God. And his word declares in Deuteronomy 28 that we quote every single week the covenant that we have. So today, if you'll stand to your feet with your offering, we're not just putting money in a bucket. We are not just putting money in a bucket. We are entering into God's covenant promises for our finances. So today, as we speak this out, remember, this is powerful what you're doing. It is supernatural what you're doing. So Deuteronomy 28 says, if I obey, I am blessed going in. Oh, and I'm blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, go ahead and click on the giving button or text to give right along with us. You're a part of our church family too.
Oh, greatest day in history. Death is beaten, you have rescued me. good morning, His Tabernacle. That was weak. Good morning, His Tabernacle. That's better. So today is a very special day, and I'm very excited because when I did this first service, Pastor wasn't even here. So today is Pastor's birthday. And if we could have everybody stand up really quick. Pastor, come out here. I'm not letting you escape me this service. I didn't know what to do for a service because there was just nobody to even sing to. So we're going to sing happy birthday to Pastor as a church this morning. Is everybody ready? Are you guys ready?
First note, everybody.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear Spencer. Happy birthday to you.
How old are you now? So this morning we're going to take a very special offering for Pastor's birthday. If you have a gift that you'd like to prepare, there were some envelopes put on the chairs, but if you need an envelope, the ushers are going around. If you could just raise your hand up really quick, we'll give them some time to pass out the envelopes this morning. I see hands over there, hands up here. So there's cupcakes too this morning. Make sure you get out to the foyer after service because we're going to eat some cupcakes. Actually, I think they had to go get more because first service, they ate so many, there was none left for you guys. So they had to go to the store to buy more. Does everybody have an envelope? I have a hand right up here. If there's an usher close. This young lady right up front here. So we're just going to pray real quick over this offering. Father, we just lift our pastor up to you. We thank you for him, Jesus. We thank you that he is just such a blessing in our lives as a church. And we want to just pray that he has just an awesome birthday, an awesome day today. And we want to pray a special, special blessing over this offering as we take it this morning. We just pray that as he opens up the cards and the gifts, that he's just blessed beyond blessed. In Jesus' name, everybody say... All right, so if you'll bring your gift, there's baskets right here to the front.
Couple that just blessed his socks off, and they do this every year. Mark and Amy, I just have to brag on you a little bit. They send like cards every day with little blessings in them, so it's so exciting for him because if anybody knows Pastor, his love language is gifts. So it just blesses him to open up those cards every day. Thank you so much for honoring and blessing our pastor, and thank all of you for blessing and honoring him also. One of the things that we do here, and I love this, is our guest reception. So please, if you are our guest here, come over to the guest reception after church and say hello. You get to meet the pastors. I love it because I get to find out how you heard about the church and what brought you, and I get to hear so many exciting stories and exciting testimonies of what God has done in lives and it answered prayers. I mean, when you first get saved, remember when you first got saved? The excitement that was inside of your spirit and how God loves to spoil his babies and you pray and things just happen overnight. When I get to go in the guest reception, I get to hear all those awesome testimonies. So if you're a guest or if you ever bring a guest with you, make sure they get to the guest reception room so we can connect with them, meet them, tell them all the things that are going on, and get them connected to the house. So keep bringing guests and make sure they get to the guest reception room. I think we're good to go.
About today. Why? Because we have a mission and it's clear. Turn to someone and say, the mission.
Praise the Lord. The mission is clear, and that is our job as believers is to create an explosion of celebration. You see, the Bible says that God gets excited when somebody gets saved. Can you open your Bibles with me this morning real quickly? We're not going to be long, 2 or 3 hours. We'll be out of here. Thank you, man of God. Luke chapter 15, it says this, starting in verse 8. Or imagine a woman who has 10 coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and scour the house, looking in every nook and cranny until she finds it? And when she finds it, you can be sure she's going to call her friends and neighbors. Celebrate with me. I have found my lost coin. Count on it. I love this part. Count on it. That's the kind of party God's angels throw every time one lost soul turns to God. You see, it's an exciting thing to be part of the family of God. It's an exciting thing to recognize that our mission, come on now, turn to someone and say, I got a mission. Is to get heaven to roar. I can't wait to make heaven celebrate. This morning, as I said earlier, 4 people gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. All of heaven was shouting. The Bible says that heaven is rejoicing. God is moving. Why? Because he's excited that somebody came from death to life. Every one of us have an enormous call of God on our lives. And the mission that we're called to do is to cause celebration in heaven. Our text last week was this, Matthew chapter 19, 25 and 26. The disciples were astounded. Who then in the world can be saved? They asked Jesus. And Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible. But with God, shout with God, it is possible. Today I want to take us on an adventure looking through the eyes of Andrew, Peter's brother. You see, Andrew is a powerful man of God, but the reason he was so powerful is because of the principles that he got a hold of through this text. John chapter 1, starting with verse 35, it says this. The following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at Jesus and declared, look, there's the Lamb of God. When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following. What do you want? He asked. They replied, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? He said, come and see. He said, It was about four o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying. And they remained with him for the rest of the day. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to go find his brother Simon and told him, we have found the Messiah, which means the Christ or the Christos. And then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus and looked intently at Simon. Jesus said, your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas, which means Peter, or you're going to be called the Rock. We know that by Peter, Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my kingdom. It is exciting to know that your life and my life can truly affect generations to come. You see, we don't hear a lot about Andrew, but we all have heard of Peter. Amen? Peter, he's written the books in the Bible, and God used him in such a dynamic manner to see even the Gentiles born again. God used him so powerfully, but without Andrew, Peter would not have been saved. Many of us forget that God has chosen you. Turn to someone and say, that's you. To make a difference in somebody else's life. You see, God's chosen you to make a difference. God has you here to make a difference. And many times we forget how important our lives are. We forget God's plan for us. We kind of get sucked in by the ways of the world. The Bible says if you love the world, then the love of the Father is not in you. But what's happened is we live our lives to pacify, placate, live for our own selves, and we forget that we're here as a mission from God to meet people and to bring them, like Peter, to Jesus. You see, what changed Andrew, he was a guy that was hanging around John the Baptist. How many of you know John the Baptist was a man of God? John the Baptist was a man of God, but he wasn't Christ. Something happened to Andrew when he met Jesus, and when he met Jesus, it created a celebration and an excitement that John the Baptist could not hold candle to. You see, how many of you in this room have been born again by the blood of Jesus? How many of you, your lives have been changed by the power of God? How many of you, man, you got a reason to shout? You were in darkness, but God brought you out. You see, all of us who have been changed by Jesus, we know that religion doesn't do it. We know that being good doesn't do it. We know that being benevolent doesn't do it. What does it is that you and I have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, and now we have a relationship with a living God, and He is a good God and greatly to be praised. You see, Andrew, his whole perspective changed when he met Jesus. It was different from meeting John the Baptist, even though he was a man of God. Something changed, and what it was he had to do something. Turn to someone and say, you got to do something. Five steps that Andrew's perspective touched. I want to talk and walk you through them. Number one, he looked around. Number two, he looked up. Number three, he looked out. Number four, he looked forward. And number five, Andrew looked after. You see, for many of us, we don't realize that the mission that is possible has been a command by God. It is not an option not to be a soul winner. It It is not an option not to be a soul winner. Amen. Many of us, we say, well, that's not my ministry. Your first ministry is your relationship with God. But your second ministry, every one of us have the same one. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, and these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they touch any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. And when they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. And God worked with them, performing signs and wonders to confirm the word that they were preaching. You see, so many of us don't recognize that it's our call. God has put a mission in your life, and the mission is not drudgery. The mission is to cause celebration. For when you lead someone to Jesus, they've got a reason to shout too. Man, when God touches a life, there's nothing more exciting than to be used by God to see a life change. Can I hear an amen? How many of you, God has used somebody in your life to bring change to you? How many of you have led someone to Jesus and it brought change to them? Man, that is so stinking addicting. It is so exciting to watch someone go from death to life because you shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is so exciting. Man, we get excited, but the Bible says all of heaven erupts into a party. Can I hear an amen? All over the world, people are getting saved. So you know what heaven is? It's a whole lot of party. It's exciting to recognize that God is excited even about one. Just like that woman with the lost coin. She looked and looked and looked, but when she found it, man, she called her friends and said, we got a reason to celebrate. And God says when he finds one, just one, whether you're backslidden this morning, whether you're not walking with God this morning, whether you've never known Christ as your personal Savior this morning, I want you to know there'll be a celebration in your heart when you receive Christ, but even that, all of heaven's going to break out into a party when you get your life right with Jesus. Can I hear an amen as saints of God? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4:4, we talked about it last week, how the devil blinds the mind of the unbeliever. How literally, not figuratively, that the people that you're praying for, there are demonic spirits that are blinding their minds. That means, the Bible says, they're in darkness. But one thing that is so exciting about you, turn to someone and say, something exciting about you. What's exciting about you is you're the light. The Bible says you're the light of the world, that you and I are a city set on top of a hill, that you and I should not hide our light under a bushel. You see, we have been called to be the light that expels the darkness. We are the sons and daughter. We are the salt of the earth that brings preservation. It is so exciting to recognize how important your life is in seeing somebody else get saved. You know, there are folks that have just walked into the building and given their hearts to the Lord. But it is so rare that someone just walks in off the streets. What's the gentleman's name? Carl Willis. Is he in the room? Carl Willis is one of those walk-ons. He's driving by as the building got finished, and he drove by and thought we were an auction house. He came down, realized it wasn't an auction house, and somebody in the church said, why don't you just stay for the service? And that day, he gave his heart to Jesus. We were celebrating, heaven was celebrating, and he's been celebrating ever since as he's married a great woman of God, and he's got a great family and a great successful business. I want you to know that if God is for you, who can be against you? And we got a reason to shout. We got a reason to celebrate because Jesus Christ changes lives. You see, we are the sighted people that lead them to salvation. People that are in darkness or are blind cannot see. But when the sighted people stop leading the blinded people, then the blinded people have no hope. This is why your lives are so important. This is why it's not about going to church. It's not about getting a hold of religion. It's not about being a nice person. Those are all good things. You can be benevolent and still not go to heaven. What changes a life is the blood of Jesus. There's only one name under heaven which while you shall be saved. It is the name of Jesus. You cannot get to heaven because you're a good person. But yet there are so many people on this planet that really believe that just being a good person or trying hard, that is the answer to get to eternity. And that's not what the Bible says at all. How many of you know the Bible is true? The truth shall make you free. You see, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You see, this is not about you and I just giving a nice little storybook of our lives, but you and I sharing the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation, which breaks down the devil's blinding of their minds, which brings light to their life, which all of a sudden now they can see. You see, the principles that Andrew stepped into was that, number one, he looked around. Andrew started looking around. When he met Jesus, everything changed. How many of you have ever been excited about something? Hey, man, you know, you get excited. I see it all the time online. Your kid in T-ball makes it a home run. Well, of course, the ball didn't go about 3 inches from the little stem. But man, you're bragging. My kid hit a home run. Man, you're all excited. Or how about getting married, you know? You're getting ready to get married, and you look at somebody and say, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. No, man. When you're getting married because you love somebody, you want to tell everybody about how much you love them. You want to brag that you're going to get married. You're going to get hitched. You're going to walk down the aisle. And why? Because there's a change that is about to happen. And when that change happens, then your life transforms. You see, when you accept Jesus as your Savior, the Bible says that you go from darkness to light. The Bible says old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But what's happened is the church has stopped being excited about the gospel. We've stopped being excited about being saved. We've stopped being excited. Listen now, Minister Palko, she's a Mary Kay executive, and like she's up there, man. She's up in the upper rank stuff, and they just got back from Pittsburgh, and I bet the whole Mary Kay crew. How many were there? How many thousands were there? This one's smaller. 2,000. There was only 2,000 people there. And I guarantee it was a very quiet Mary Kay meeting. No, they're cheering, they're shouting all over makeup and men's cologne. Come on now. But yet the church no longer gets excited that Jesus has changed your life. We no longer get excited that without the blood of Christ, we had no hope. But now that we've confessed him, now we're a new person. And now we have reason for living. We have destiny. We have purpose. We have direction. And we have a mission. Can I hear it? Amen. You see, what happened to Andrew was he was excited that his life was changed by Jesus. So what did he do? He went and found his brother. And he went to Peter and he said, Peter, I have found him. I have found that guy. I have found the one we've been believing for. His name is Jesus. He's called Christ, Christos, the Messiah. You've got to come meet him. When was the last time you were so excited about Jesus and what he did in your life that you started inviting people around you? Do you remember those times in the Bible when Jesus would heal somebody and he'd say, don't tell anybody? But yet they were so excited about being healed. How many of you have been excited about being healed? Amen. Man, there was a woman who was healed. It was interesting. We were at Rod Parsley's church many, many years ago. And there was a man jumping and dancing all around and a woman jumping and dancing all around the front of the altar. And you know, you saw people kind of sneering and wondering what was going on. And he said, he got up and he says, man, it's interesting how I watch from the pulpit area. This is why we sit up here. We get to watch you. We sit up in the pulpit area. He says, it's interesting to see how many people sneer when somebody's excited, when somebody's celebrating. But he said, what you don't know is this man's wife was diagnosed with a terminal brain cancer. She was already supposed to be dead a year, but by the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of the gospel, God took that tumor out of her head, and he's got a reason to shout. He's got his wife still with him. His family's still intact. I want you to know today, when was the last time you were so excited about Jesus, you started telling somebody? many of us have just been saved a little bit too long. And we've kind of forgotten what it was like to be lost. What it was like that first day we gave our heart to Christ and he took away our guilt and our shame and he washed us clean inside. Listen, how many of you know that you had a mess back in those days? How many of you know you were a mess back in those days? How many of the person sitting next to you knew they had a mess? Stop looking at your wife, Jody, Pastor Dan. Everybody's got a mess. Can I hear an amen? But the blood of Jesus can wash your mess away. The blood of Jesus can bring order to your life. He can bring peace to your life where there is no peace. He brings mercy where we don't deserve mercy. He gives you grace, the power of heaven, to be released, that generous grace of God that will give you the power to live before him. When was the last time you were so excited? You see, Andrew was so excited that Jesus changed his life that he had to go tell his brother. A man named David Kinneman was talking and he did some statistics and did some studies and he said, 0.5% of 1% of people between the 18 and 29 age groups will be saved. 0.5% of 1%. That's the majority of our young people. The majority of, 18 to 29? Think about that. That's the young people now getting married and having babies, and they're going to raise their babies without Christ. We're going to have it. You think it's bad now? Can you imagine a whole nother generation, one more step back from the gospel? One more step backwards from morality? Right now, it's anything goes, even in the church world. You can do whatever you want. It's no big deal. There's no absolutes in the kingdom anymore. But I want you to hear that when you get saved, I'm talking God changes your life. You're not perfect the next day, but change comes to your life. Change starts to heal your life. Change starts to change your actions. You don't talk the same way. You don't live the same way. You don't act the same way. There's been a change in my life. You see, there's an old song. There's been a great, great change. Since I've been born, Brother Chris, you know that song. You want to sing it with me? No, I don't blame you. There's been a great, great change since I've been born. There's been a great, great change since I've been born. There's been a great change since I've been born again. And the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. The people I used to, what? Oh, my goodness, look at all the people who know that song. There's a change in, you see, Andrew was so excited about how Christ changed his life that he had to tell somebody. The next one is, you got to start looking up. Look around, then look up. What does that mean? You got to make a decision to pray for people. You know, we gave out cards last week. We asked you all to put 5 names on there of people that you're believing that Jesus Christ will come into their life and change them, will set them free from their sin. But yet, many of you, you didn't even bring your cards. You didn't even write your names to bring them to the altar. Listen, I'm not trying to condemn you, but I'm showing there's a loss of priority in our life. You see, God is moved by prayer. He's not moved by religion. He's not moved by your hope. You can hope all you want, but God is activated. Heaven is released. The supernatural is that wick that lighter touches hold of, that lets loose of the dynamite, that supernatural explosion called the magnified power of God. That comes through prayer. We've got to start looking up. We've got to start binding the devil who blinds the mind of the unbelievers. We've got to get activated because we cannot sit around and just hope they get saved. God's placed you in their life to get them saved. You've got to look around. You've got to look up. There's a man named Penn Jillett. How many of you remember him? He's a magician. He is a proclaimed atheist. Does not believe in God at all. One day he's signing books and a man walked up to him and handed him a New Testament Bible. You would think that he would get railed by Penn, but this is the statement that Penn made. He said it this way: if you don't share your faith with those who don't believe, you truly hate them. If you truly believe in eternity, you must share your faith or you truly don't care about their life. That was the declaration from a proclaimed atheist. Many of us no longer care about people. We've stepped out of truly understanding and loving people to the place where we live our own lives and we don't care about the people that pass us by every single day. Listen, if this was just about going to church, then religion would suffice. But this is about you and I. We've been sent here with a mission, not an impossible mission, but mission possible. And how is it possible? Because God has sent you. And when we pray, we activate heaven. The angels are released. The power of God, the anointing, destroys every yoke of bondage. And all of a sudden, things go from darkness to light. And someone who was lost, that no one would ever have thought would ever be saved, has now walked through the doors of the church, have come to the altar. There was a young man who gave his heart to Jesus. Last week he sat in the back row, and after we had people write their names out, one of the ladies came up after the altar call. She said, "Pastor, I didn't even know he was here. He was first on my list." We've got to start praying for people. We got to believe that prayer does what it's called to do. It removes excuses from our lives because God does answer prayer. We must look around. We must look up. We must look out. What does that mean? God has placed you around a group of people that probably nobody else in this room is around. If we all took our circle of influence and actually named them, we're probably looking at over 10 to 15,000 people are represented just in the second service. We've got to get to the place where we start looking and we say, "God, who are the people that you placed in my life to truly use me to bring change to them?" But it does come down to loving people. 50 years ago, we loved people and used things. Nowadays, we use things, we love things and use people. And the church has slid into this. We've got to come back to the place of truly loving people again. Listen, you know you love people when you see somebody that's not saved and it does something in your heart. When you don't love people, it's all about you. Listen, it's a lonely life with just you. And I'm not talking strangers. I'm talking loved ones. We've got to start loving them. When we really truly believe that Jesus is the only way, that salvation can only come through Christ, then we have to look at them with a love that is bursting from our spirit, because if we don't love them, we'll never share with them the only way. Can you imagine getting to heaven? But your husband didn't, or your wife didn't, your children didn't, your brothers didn't, your friends, the guys that you hang out with, you used to party with. Can you imagine if they looked at you and they got to eternity? Because everybody's eternal in this room. Whether you like it or not, everybody in this room is going to live. Everybody on this planet, all people on the planet, because we've been created in the image of God. We are spirit, we are soul, and we are body. Every one of us in this room are going to stand before God. Those who are not washed by the blood of Jesus, they'll be cast into hell. And then that will regurgitate itself. In Revelation chapter 20, at the white throne judgment, they'll be standing before God. And God will say, the Lamb's blood is not on your life. You're not in the Lamb's book of life. Therefore, you will experience the second death, which means you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Those who do know Jesus are going to go directly to heaven. But watch. Can you imagine the person that you didn't share with, that you said you loved, but now they're being cast into the lake of fire and they say, "Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? If this was the only way, why didn't you at least share with me? If you loved me, you would have told me." But see, so many people are afraid to offend somebody. What are you going to friend them out of, hell one or hell two or hell three? Listen, and if somebody that you call your friend when you're sharing the gospel with them turns their back on you, were they ever truly your friend in the first place? I used to work, and this is going to identify me as being a little mature. I like the word mature rather than old. I used to work at Mr. Donuts. And though I didn't say Dunkin' Donuts, I said Mr. Donuts. Can I hear an amen from all the elderly people in the room? I used to work midnight to six shift on Saturday nights. And, you know, the baker there was really interesting. He was a Coke addict, and he would do his lines right there on the dough table, and whatever was left over, he just rolled it in. That's why everybody kept coming back. They were happy. They were good donuts. Just kidding. And I worked with this young lady, and she didn't work Friday night. She went out partying Friday night, but she worked with me from midnight to 6 on Saturday night into Sunday morning. And I remember her one day standing there, and she was so excited to tell me. See, it made her day, and it made her excited. She said, man, I went to a party last night. I went out, man, I got drunk. It was awesome. Man, you wouldn't believe how many I was able to chug down and all the people I met. She said, and I met this guy. She said, and we went home to his house, and we had amazing sex. She's telling me all about this, man. She's bragging about it. She's excited about it. She got done her story. And I looked at her and I says, have you ever heard of Jesus? And I started telling her about Jesus. And this is what she said to me. Stop preaching to me. And I looked at her and I said, then stop preaching to me. What you're excited about, you're going to preach about. What is really burning in your spirit, you're going to tell people about. You see, when was the last time you were so excited about what Jesus did in your life that you had to tell somebody about it? You had to share the gospel. God has sent you to a people that only you will reach. One day, they will stand before the judgment of God. And if they have not confessed Christ, if they have not heard the gospel, if the blindness has not been taken off them, then they will be lost. And that could be about us. We got to love people again. We've been so consumed with our own little lifestyles that we forget that, man, honestly, without Jesus, there is no hope. Listen, if this is about religion, let's stop playing the game. Let's go home. But because it is only the blood of Jesus that changes a life, that gets us to heaven, if we actually believe that, we've got to say something. We've got to tell somebody. We've got to have excitement within our spirit and know that if we don't tell them, there is no hope. And if they reject you, then they weren't your friend and didn't care anyways. See, there are people looking for you. They're looking for you. You know what I'm talking about. You know these guys you hang out with, these girls you hang out with? I'm going to have to short my sermon. My britches are falling down. I lose weight as I preach. How? I'm going to lose myself, so let's just stay where we're going. Thank you. So many of us live like they do, that they don't care what you have. So many of the people that we're sent to will never listen to us about Jesus because we live just like they do. Somebody said to me not too long ago, well, Pastor, I don't feel convicted about that. I don't feel that I need to stop that. And I said, but if it costs somebody their soul, is it worth it? Is your freedom worth somebody's soul? Man, you're dropping the F-bombs with them. You can't expect when you drop Jesus, they understand they're talking about him. You can't be smoking weed with them and think they're going to get high on Christ. Amen. You can't be slugging down the whiskey with them and the booze with them, and you're tipped and they're tipped, and think that now they're going to be open for the gospel. Listen, if we love people, our freedoms are free to surrender because we love them more than we love our freedom. Well, let me just say that one more time because that's a real good one. Sometimes we love our freedom more than we love people. But your freedom could hold them back from their eternity. So what is more valuable to us determines our love value to them. Someone better tweet that one. Because many of us love our freedom far more than we love people. But yet, without Jesus, they're lost. I mean, talking like, honestly, and many of us don't believe that. We believe there are many ways to heaven, but there is not many ways to heaven. There's only one name under heaven, which all you shall be saved. It's the name of Jesus. Church won't save you. Religion won't save you. Your mom and daddy won't save you. The preacher man can't save you. The only one who can save you is Jesus Christ. It's the blood that he shed on Calvary's tree that paid for the price of you and me. We've got to get back to the cross, get excited about the cross, love people more than we love our freedoms. You know, if you asked your friends around you why they don't serve God, I wonder if they would be honest and say it has something to do with you. It's a thought that we've got to judge ourselves in. You know, one of the things about being a pastor, and I hope you realize that not all pastors live right. Not all pastors live right. In fact, if you start looking up a lot of the preachers with their big names on Instagram, you're going to find them with a beer in their hand and a stogie in their mouth and a little chicky babe under their arm. Some of the names that we all know have multiple children out of wedlock while they're pastors. Has nothing to do with being a preacher. Has to do with our own hearts. God doesn't judge us by title. God judges us by our hearts. And we've got to ask ourselves, do I really care enough about people? Do I really believe that if they don't know Christ, they can't go to heaven? Do I really actually believe that my freedom is more important than their eternity? We've got to get back to truly loving people. And when we do, man, it changes our lives, and it changes their life. Number one, you got to look around. Number two, you got to look up. Number three, you got to look out. Number four, you got to look forward. You got to say, God, I need you to give me an opportunity to share your gospel with them. I need you, Jesus, to give me that moment of time to drop a seed. God, I need you to share. Listen, oh, pastor, but I'm just a person. I'm not like that. Pastor, I'm not. You know, my son, Chad Michael, he's a preaching freak. What do I mean by that? He loves preaching the gospel like in the weirdest places. When he was down at Bible school, they would go into a restaurant and say, can I borrow the microphone? For whatever reason, they would give him a microphone. And he would start praying over the intercom while people are eating their food. And then they didn't stop him. He would give a salvation message on how to get saved. You're eating your steak at Texas Roadhouse, and someone steals the microphone and starts sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's like that. He's one of those people. They went to a football stadium and said, we need to borrow the microphone. At a high school football game. And he started leading people to Jesus Christ right there. Listen, some of you are saying, Pastor, that is just not me. I am not that kind of person. And that is exactly true. Jesus didn't make us all the same way, but God will give us all an opportunity to share the gospel. Some of you, man, you're really good at tea. And you have friends that will come and have tea with you. And you'll share Jesus while you're having tea. You will get a harvest while you're having tea or making a quilt. Oh, my goodness. You might lead someone to Christ while you're playing some golf or playing some tennis or you're out there hunting with your buddies. I want you to know that God will set you up. You need to start asking God and start looking for that forward opportunity. Jesus, these names right here. Lord, I'm binding the devil that blinds the mind of their unbelieving. And Lord, I'm taking authority in Jesus' name. I'm releasing the power of prayer. You're preparing them. Now, God, give me the opportunity. Give me the chance. Give me the one time I can drop a seed. Because God, I will be faithful. When you tell me, I will share the gospel. When you give me the opportunity, I will give them the gospel. And God will change lives. Why? Because of you. You see, this is what happens when Andrew's heart starts being released by the power of Jesus. And the last one is this. You start looking after them. So number one, you look around. Number two, you look up. Number three, you look out. Number four, you look forward. Number five, you look after. You know, we have a brand new baby in our family. His name is Julian. He's fat. He's this fat little kid. He's chunky faced. Is he right there? No. She just took him out to go feed him again. That kid can eat. He's in the top 10 percentile of his weight. That's no lie. That's the truth. And that kid right there, man, if Mindy had that baby, and after the baby got born, said, okay, good luck, kid. The feeding's in the fridge. What's going to happen to that baby? You see, you and I also need to look after. And we need to, when we have a friend that gets saved, we don't just say, good luck. You got to make sure that they're coming to church. Maybe you got to go pick them up to come to church. Maybe they've never been a church person in their whole life. You need to go pick them up, bring them to the house of God. Man, you know that they're not going to get solid until they go to step one, rock solid faith. But man, you don't even go. You don't even go. Yeah, maybe that fixed it. But man, when we start looking after people, that means we want to make sure they're going to live. Babies can't live on their own. They need to be taught. They need to be brought up. The Bible calls it discipleship. You need to start bringing them to rock solid faith. You need to start bringing them to step two. You need to start bringing them to where they're going to start growing up in Christ. You see, we can't just get our friends born again and leave them laying on the side of the road and say, hope you do okay. We've got to make sure that they're going to grow up in Christ. Can I hear an amen? You see, so number one, you got to look around. Number two, you got to look up. Number three, you got to look out. Number four, you got to look forward. Number five, you got to look after. And this is our mission. Turn to someone and say, we got a mission that's possible. We saw it right here. The mission we have is to bring celebration. The mission we have is to bring a roar in heaven of one soul getting saved. Man, I want you to know this. Every one of us should be leading one soul to Jesus Christ a year. At least one soul. When was the last time you loved somebody enough to lead them to Christ? When was the last time you hated somebody so much you wouldn't? It's a love-hate thing. And some of us love ourselves more than we love other people. And we've got to get back to loving people. This is why you're here. Turn to someone and say, this is why you're here. You're not here to suck air. You're here to make a difference. Some of you used to love Jesus, man. You were in ministry. You did ministry. You loved God. You were a passionate person. People around you would be caught on fire near you. Now, man, you got to drag yourself to church. You need to get back to the altar and get your life right with Jesus Christ, because the people that God has sent you to are going to die on the vine while you're playing a game with your own little lifestyle. It's time to get back to Jesus. It's time to get back to loving God. It's time to get back to loving people. It's time to get back to the mission. And the mission, we are going to erupt this place. We already did this morning with four souls getting saved in the first service, but I can't wait till this coming Easter. I'm believing God for hundreds of people that will walk down the aisle and confess Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It's not about growing a church. It's about growing the kingdom. It's about getting people to love Christ and their life never being the same again. And that happens through the God's divine plan, and that's you. Bow your heads with me. Father, I thank you that you have so much confidence in us, that you have placed your gospel in our hearts. Holy Spirit, we want to be like the prophet that declared, it's like a fire shut up in my bones. I can't keep quiet. Jesus, you changed us. And we pray that you remind us, because sometimes we forget how far you brought us. We have forgotten, Jesus, that the message that's in our spirit is not one of religion, but one of true, literal hope for those that are lost. And without that message, they cannot be saved. God, forgive us for being so self-consumed that we even love our freedoms more than we love people. We ask that you'll wash our sins away. Put a fire within our spirit that will ignite us to the position, God, where we are so passionate to share your gospel that if they choose not to listen, they cannot say they have not heard. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior in this room, you now have heard. This is not about religion. Coming to church don't get you saved. Coming to church grows you up, matures you. But today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I've got hope for you. I've got joy for you. I've got a celebration for you, because he will change your life. Today, if you do not know Christ as your Savior and you need him in your life, maybe you're backslidden. You know you're backslidden, man. You know there's no more fire left in your bones. You know that, man, if Christ came today, the only thing you have to hold on to is what you had 5 years ago. That doesn't do it. The manna is new every day. You need to repent. Get right with God. Can I tell you a horrific, horrifying story that the scripture teaches? There's not one more prophecy left to be fulfilled before Jesus comes, the rapture comes. Nothing left. That means before this message is over, it just happened. We don't have a lot of time, church. We've got to stop playing games. Jesus is coming. If you're in a backslidden condition, you're in a dangerous spot. The Bible says this in Thessalonians, that those who had opportunity to be saved and chose not to be, when the rapture occurs, will never have another chance. See, I used to think as a kid, I'll just die, get my head cut off when I get into the tribulation period. No, you won't have a chance. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to be right. If today you do not know Christ as your Savior, you've never accepted him as your Lord. Today you're in a backslidden condition, you want to get right. You see, why we need this is because you got a mission to do. You can't do it if you're wrong. Today, if you want to give your heart to Christ or you want to get right, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. I'm not asking you to join a church. Thank you very much to two individuals over here. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. You can put your hands right back down. Is there anyone else this morning? Come on, heaven's starting to shout. You're sure? You guys want this? You guys want this? Yes? Two. Amen. Both of you? Two more young people gave their heart to Jesus Christ. Ma'am, right there. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anyone else this morning? Thank you, sir. I see your hand right there. Is there anyone else this morning? Come on, this is the Holy Ghost moving. Amen. You folks just gave your heart to the Lord first service. You're all set. You're good. Anybody else this morning? I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4. Come on, backslidden folk. Time for you to move. 5, 4. You know what? What happens to me as pastor is I want to reach down and grab you by the nap of the neck and whoop on your hind end. Because I know whether you're living right or not. Thank you. Let's all stand to our feet. You notice today I didn't count down because Jesus probably already could have come. He didn't have a second chance. We're going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar right now. If you need prayer in this room for anything in your life, maybe you're discouraged, maybe you're struggling, maybe you need healing, maybe you need a miracle in your finances, these folks know how to pray down heaven and manifest the anointing of God. They will bring you through in Jesus' name. Maybe you're struggling with addictions. These folks will pray with you, and God will set you free. If you raise your hand for salvation, I want you to meet me right down here in the front. Come on, can you give them a hand clap as they're coming out of their chairs? Meet me right down here, right down front right now. I want to make sure that you know Christ as your Savior. This is your moment to be changed by the power of God.
Amen. I love you guys. I love you guys. Good? Amen.
Proud of you, young man. Very good. Amen. Proud of you, honey. I'm going to ask you, right this team right over here, can you wave at them? This team right over here is going to pray with you. These three ladies. So head right on over there. They're going to pray with you and minister to you. Make sure you get Bibles and be all set. Amen. Can you give a... Come on. Can you not let heaven out shout you this morning? 8 people have received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior today at His Tabernacle Family Church. I'm not going to let the devil even scream an ounce. I'm going to let him know he's already whooped. Amen. Can I hear a shout for God? If you're a guest in the house, we have a guest reception right after you. Go right through that door. We'd love to personally meet you. Today is your day. Make sure you ask for God to give you opportunity. Pray for those that are on your list. Let's get them saved, set free in the name of Jesus. Can I hear one more shout? Serve God with all of your heart. In the foyer. I'm going to go right out there and thank you all for birthday.